But there's also a bit of a cliffhanger taking place in the United States. If you've been following the U.S. economy and the foreclosure crisis, Todd, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Absolutely. It's part of what's driving this miserable economy that we're still in.
Well, driving or bringing it to a screeching halt, banks around the country have looked at the paperwork in their foreclosure process, and because of things called robo-signing and not careful looking at the fine print in some of these foreclosure arrangements, have actually announced internal bank moratoriums on foreclosures while they figure out the paperwork. Now 40 attorneys general around the country are considering something short of an actual moratorium. Joining us to talk about this is Chris Mayer, a senior vice dean of the Columbia Business School and a professor of real estate, joins us from here in New York. Professor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
And David Halpern joins us. He's a realtor at Louisville Short Sale Experts, a title, complete title company, and is definitely involved in both ends of these kinds of transactions. David, let me begin with you. If there's a, and first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I mean, good morning to someone who deals with foreclosures. That's a little tough. But in this particular instance, a foreclosure moratorium, if I'm a seller currently in a house in foreclosure, am I like holding a party when I react to that news?
Yes, that's a good question. If you are a seller and you are still living in the house, this could grant you an extra number of weeks or months, depending on the length of the moratorium, where you don't have to worry about the foreclosure coming up, and you may actually be able to stay in the house for a while without making a mortgage payment.
And Dave Halpern, depending on the laws of whatever state we're dealing with, it could be up to a year, right?
Well, it could stretch out because if they have to withdraw the house from the foreclosure auction, then it often takes many months to get it back on the docket, yes.
All right, let's shift around. If you're a buyer of homes, how does a foreclosure moratorium affect you?
Well, what we're hearing from many real estate agents, our buyers are now very concerned about buying houses that are going through the foreclosure process because they are just afraid that what they buy will have a defective title and no one wants to buy a house and then be told later on that they don't really own it.
Jitters in the real estate market, according to Dave Halpern, who's a realtor and a Louisville short sale expert. Chris Mayer, what is that ripple effect and all those jitters in the market do, especially when we're hearing stories about a possible foreclosure moratorium? What does it do to the entire market?
I think other than somebody who has a bit of a reprieve on the on losing their home, I think this is not good news for anybody. At the moment, uncertainty about the housing market is both holding back the economy. You know, we're seeing really lenders reluctant to lend, and there's a lot of questions as to whether the housing market is really hit bottom or whether we're going to have a double dip there. This just delays the process. I think anything that reduces confidence and makes people more reluctant to resume normal activity is just bad news for all of us.
Let's get into the details a little bit. On the one hand, this is a supply question because if foreclosures are shut down, banks can't get these assets off their books, and there's this kind of shadow supply of cheap houses that depresses the price. But there's also a risk in reopening the paperwork of all these mortgage arrangements. What's the risk there?
Well, I think there's the issue of robo-signing, which you talked about, but there's a deeper question as to whether the fundamental legal process that underlies most of securitization and most of how we fund our mortgages, some people are questioning whether that's a legal process. And it's a process which involves people kind of trading mortgages like IOUs, and not every time they trade it going into the county courthouse and filing the paperwork, but instead sort of buying and selling these things. That's part of what securitization was. If that process really is undermined, and I still think there's some questions about that, it would create a much bigger level of uncertainty that would not be a matter of weeks or months, that would be a much longer process. I think that's probably not the likeliest scenario, but if it were to happen, it could be you know, that could really send kind of a thunderbolt through the housing system and through how we finance mortgages.
Well, Chris Mayer, Senior Vice Dean of the Columbia Business School, you're talking about a fragile arrangement here in the housing market. If you can't do the securitization of mortgages, which of course led to some accounts to the whole subprime problem to begin with, but if you can't securitize mortgages and resell them, banks aren't going to get into this business. The whole thing shuts down. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, that's the risk, although you have to remember even the government mortgages, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the FHA, which are doing 19 out of every 20 mortgages, they also rely on securitization. So, you know, securitization funds everything, both the government's efforts and private efforts. So if we go down that route, you know, and as I said, I'm confident that we're going to find some sort of solution, but in the meantime, it's very problematic. And, you know, I would also point out to taxpayers, since we are writing checks for tens of billions or more to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, this affects all of us also.
Indeed. Chris Mayer describing those attorneys general looking at the foreclosure crisis as playing with fire in the U.S. economy. Chris Mayer is Senior Vice Dean at the Columbia Business School. He's also a professor of real estate. We also spoke with Dave Halpern, who's a realtor at Louisville Short Sale Experts. I'm sure you're going to have a busy day, Dave. Thanks so much for joining us, both of you.
Thanks. All right. Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.